Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Pod Save the King.
Hello and welcome back to Pod Save the King. I'm your host Anne Gripper, and it is lovely to have you with us again. I sound a bit gravelly this week. I think I've got the hay fever. The pollen is here in London, but also here with me is Jennifer Newton, Royal Features writer for The Mirror Online. So lovely to have you with us again, Jen.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
Loads and loads and loads to talk about this week. Prince Harry's involved in two court cases this week, one on either side of the Atlantic, but we're going to leave that to others to talk about for now, with or without Prince Harry lookalikes. And we have plenty of other things to talk about. There's a baby, an incredible royal wedding, and a busy few days of engagements for the Princess of Wales as well. And for anybody who was particularly looking forward to the look at Northern Ireland that I trailed last week, that is very much still in our plans, and we are going to do it with Julie Beattie, but we're going to come back to it because we have so much to fit in already this week. So, Jen, lovely to have you with us. Where shall we start?
Oh, where shall we start? There's so many things we could start with.
Maybe baby.
Baby news, yeah, definitely.
Baby news is always lovely. And Princess Eugenie shared it a couple of days ago on her Instagram, as we're used to seeing. And it was really lovely to see. She actually shared a picture of the baby, which not all sort of Instagram types do. She was happy to share. And understandably, some people have different levels of privacy that they want to keep for their families, which is absolutely fine and understandable. But she wanted to share the beautiful picture, both of their new baby boy, Ernest, and with his big brother, August, and a lovely message. Jack and I wanted to share the news that we had our little boy, Ernest George Ronnie Brooksbank, on 30th of May 2023 at 8:49, so presumably that's 8:49 in the morning, weighing 7.1 pounds. He is named after his great-great-great-grandfather George, his grandpa George, and my grandpa Ronald. Augie is loving being a big brother already. And then some blue and red hearts. Very cute.
Yeah, it was really cute, yeah. And the names, really... I like how Eugenie picks names that have some sort of significance. I mean, obviously any name that she would have picked would have been lovely, but real family significance. So the Ernest, I didn't know, but Ernest's great-great-great-grandfather, King George V, had Ernest as a middle name. So we think that's where that came from, which is really nice. And then George is a tribute to Jack's dad, George Brooksbank, who sadly died in 2021. So that's a nice tribute to him. And then the Ronnie was the bit that threw me. I don't know about you. I just thought, where does Ronnie fit into this? But Eugenie's mum, Sarah, the Duchess of York, her dad was called Major Ronald Ferguson. So that's where that comes from. Yeah.
Lovely family, sort of family tributes, and not anything to do with Ronnie O'Sullivan, the snooker player. But
I don't think so.
No, well, Princess Anne, it turns out, is a fan of the snooker. She'd been when she was giving Mark Selby. That's a friend of mine. Mark Selby is the snooker player. His BE, I can't remember which letter went before it recently. She said they should be not watching the snooker at the Crucible. But no, so lovely, lovely family names, and very like Ernest. It's a very sort of classic, old-fashioned name.
Yeah.
And it sort of makes me think, so you've got the importance of being Ernest, you've got Ernie, he drove the fastest milk cart in the West. Did you used to have that song when you were little? Do you know that one? It's just my dad used to play it for us.
I unfortunately haven't heard of that, sorry.
I won't sing it for you. You can look it up on YouTube. It's a slightly comedy type song. But yeah, it's a lovely name. And I did something that I quite like to do with royal babies and haven't done for a while, is put the names into the sort of, you know, baby name popularity tracker. So, I mean, it's fair to say that Ernest and August are both fairly unusual, uncommon, uncommon first names in the UK. Ernest is kind of increasing in popularity-ish compared to where it was in sort of the 1990s. And I think it's that classic thing of people's grandparents, those, you know, your grandparents' names come back when the grandchildren have children and want to either, you know, remember someone who's no longer with them or just have a nice sort of family moment for someone who is still there to show they care.
Yeah, definitely. I think that's what Eugenie's definitely done. Pick names that have significance and, you know, honour family members. So yeah, really nice.
And it was similar as well, actually, with August. So if I was like trying to remember and had a look at, so August Philip Hawke Brooksbanks, so big brother August. And so that's named, he's got a reference to Prince Albert and also the late Duke of Edinburgh, Prince Philip. So that's also very lovely. So we wish them huge congratulations. I mean, it's mad. I mean, my little baby's now 19 months, 20 months old, and trying to remember what she was like when she was that small. This whole different world away. And obviously, exciting time for the whole family to be welcoming little Ernest into the family.
Yeah, definitely. Even just today, I was listening to Fergie's new podcast, and she was saying how she cried when she heard the name, which is really sweet. Obviously, the name reflecting her late dad, Ronald Ferguson. And just from listening to the podcast as well, you can tell just how proud she is to be a grandma the third time now, obviously August and Beatrice's little girl Sienna. So yeah, that really came across, and I'm sure that's just how, you know, grandmas are like, aren't they? They're just so proud to have grandchildren, and she's definitely one of those.
Yeah, you definitely get that vibe off Fergie, that she's really proud of her girls and their children and just them in the world. I haven't listened to either of the first two podcasts. How are they? What kind of stuff she talk about generally? What's the vibe on the podcast?
The vibe's kind of just life and what's happening in the world, really. The podcast that I just listened to, she was talking a lot about being a grandma for the third time, talking about how she has to abide by granny rules, what she is and isn't allowed to share by Eugenie and Beatrice, because I think it's clear to say that she would just tell the world how proud she is, get a photo album out at any opportunity. So it's kind of like that, and they reflected on some of the things that are in the news agenda. So it's kind of that sort of vibe.
Interesting. And we know podcasts are fun, so I hope Fergie's having fun doing hers. And Princess Beatrice, she was out last week. We saw her at the royal wedding, and it turns out she had, you know, the big secret that little Ernest had already arrived. You know, whether that was the chat at the wedding, who knows, but it hadn't it waited until Eugenie was ready to share it to talk about it. But when I asked you about the royal wedding, you were just like, it was epic.
Yeah, it was.
Why was it so, like, tell us about, so it was the wedding of Prince Hussein and Rajah Al Saif of Jordan, so the Crown Prince of Jordan. Massive do, royals from around the world, and amazing outfits. I mean, what's not to like?
Well, yeah, exactly. I suppose the way we can kind of compare it is it's the equivalent of when Prince William married Kate, but in Jordan, basically. So that's how big of an event it was there. I found a live stream, because it was obviously being streamed live on TV in Jordan. I found a live stream, and I kind of thought, well, I'll watch a little bit, see the people arrive, see, you know, what's happening. And I massively got sucked into watching it, just because it was just so big, so epic. So you had the ceremony part, then you had the reception. And then they also had this really big, I don't know if you saw it, it was like a motorcade. So they traveled from the palace where they got married to the palace where they were having the reception in this, I don't even know what car it would be.
It was Land Rover, wasn't it?
It was a Land Rover, like an open top Land Rover where they sat, and then there was other Land Rovers around them, and then they went through the streets of Amman in Jordan, and it looked amazing, actually. And I know we always say we the Brits do pomp and pageantry, but I think they could give us a bit of a run for their money, actually.
And Prince Philip would probably approve of Land Rovers being used for the motorcade. I mean, absolutely stunning occasion. Incredible outfits. You probably can't be too overdressed for a royal wedding generally anyway. You can choose a terrible hat.
Yeah.
As probably Beatrice usually may admit in retrospect. But actually, I guess it was a very different kind of feel because you're in the Middle East rather than in the UK where it might rain and it's probably going to be windy. Yeah. And also sort of being more, I don't know, a different style and modesty and that kind of thing. Elegance and, you know, Kate's outfit that she wore for the day, that's not a common or garden wedding guest outfit.
No, not, you know, if you think of the traditional English wedding and what most people would have in a church, you wouldn't expect someone to wear that, but I think it was the perfect outfit for that sort of occasion in, like you say, the Middle East with a different sort of ceremony and celebration.
Yeah, it was quite, you know, there was blush pink, shall we call it, or dusky pink, evening gown style, any stuff. It was just, I really, really loved it. Like, the sort of the embellishment at the top, and it just looked like it would move beautifully as you're walking around and just, you know, quite ethereal and princessy and all of the things that you would want to have for a royal wedding.
Yeah, definitely. And quite interesting with our dress, how you say Ellie Saab, it was from the autumn winter 2017 collection. So even though we've not seen Kate wear it before, she must have bought it quite a few years ago because it's not available to buy anymore. So
yeah, so it's like, has she been wearing it for private events, or is it just like, I like this, I'll need this one day.
Yeah.
At some stage, I will find some time to wear it and just wait for that perfect. I mean, we've probably all got outfits like that. Let's face it.
Yeah, we all buy things and go, we'll wear it one day.
Maybe not from
Ellie Saab, but
runway collection. But that was amazing. And well, I mean, it's unfair to start off talking about the Princess of Wales, really. We should start off by talking about the bride. It was her day.
Yeah.
And she looked absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, I really liked the dress. It was Ellie Saab as well, gown with an asymmetric neckline. So it was quite a simple dress, but I think what really set it off was that gorgeous train that she had at the back.
And that, I really like the neckline as well. It's like, it's unusual.
Yeah.
It's really distinctive. Like, it's quite a statement. It's quite strong. And I think someone spotted that Queen Rania, so her now mother-in-law, had worn a similar neckline also from Ellie Saab a few years ago. So I thought that was a good spot from the fashion watchers.
Yeah.
So that was really nice. Beatrice also looked fabulous. Anybody else that stood out for you that you spotted, or...?
Yeah, I think Beatrice, actually. What I thought at first when I first saw her, the dress that she wore for the daytime ceremony, I thought at first, I was like, why has she done that? Why has she committed this faux pas of wearing white? But when you looked at it closely, it was actually an icy blue colour, I would describe it as. That was from Needle and Thread. And I don't know if you saw the clutch bag that she had, but it had a slogan on that said, Wifey for Lifey.
Amazing.
Yeah, she's worn that, but well... Do you wear a bag? Do you bring a bag? I don't know. She at the Queen's Jubilee celebrations last year. But yeah, it's quite fitting to take that to a wedding, isn't it?
I have to tell my husband, because he got me for our wood anniversary, which was 5 years. He got me something else as well. But he did get me a wood key ring, which says Wifey for Life.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. So she's clearly stole that from me. Yeah.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Clearly there's a lot of Wifey for Lifey merch available out there. And we got a massive evening reception as well.
Yeah.
Two outfits. I mean, again, going back to our wedding that you or I might go to, we don't often have to pack two outfits. Is you possibly two pairs of shoes?
Yeah. For the flats for the dancing. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But another round of outfits later on. I think it's fair to say I did prefer the bride's day dress to her evening dress. It wasn't so much my thing, the evening one.
Yeah, I thought it was quite, I should maybe diplomatically put it, high fashion.
Yeah.
Which isn't always easily wearable. So that was Dolce & Gabbana, the second wedding dress. So, yeah.
So, yeah, there's a bit more, I don't know, more fussy.
Yeah, yeah, I get, yeah, definitely.
There's some bits on it.
Yeah.
But that's my technical, technical term, like embellishments.
Yeah.
But, not so much my thing. And actually, in fairness, I think I preferred Kate's day dress to her evening one as well.
Yeah, she wore, well, she went to a go-to evening Jenny Packham with the sparkling dress. And I think it was quite similar to the one, she's got one in green that she wore in Pakistan. I think I prefer the green colour.
It had a bit more impact. And I think possibly because she'd worn such an sort of an incredible and I guess quite different in some ways outfit during the daytime.
Yeah.
That it was quite a different look for Kate in some ways, like within her look set, if you like, but something relatively new to see something that was a bit more, I don't know, simple, discreet. I mean, sequins, always great.
Yeah, for a nighttime, yeah.
For a nighttime. And I always feel slightly odd as well when she has to put like a sash or a funny little badge on it as
well.
Yeah,
kind of doesn't ruin it, but yeah, it kind of takes away from, I suppose, the dress.
But it does make you stand out in the official photos.
It does make, yeah, she did stand out in the official photos, yeah. And I suppose she didn't want to go too bold or daring because you don't want to upstage the bride either.
It probably looked good on the dance floor as well.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope Kate and William made the most of being away from the kids and got down on the dance floor. The other thing as well, we don't need for our weddings here, tiaras.
No. Well, I mean, you could have one if you wanted one, but yeah, not in my price range.
So we saw one tiara that we've seen quite a lot of, yep. Speaking from the British side of things anyway, and one tiara that we haven't seen for a really long time.
Yeah. So Kate wore the Love Is Not tiara, which is kind of, again, her go-to tiara. She's worn that so many times in the past. And then, yeah, Beatrice got to wear a tiara. She was wearing the York tiara. And I didn't know until I read this that it's only the second time she's worn a tiara at an event. Because obviously you don't wear a tiara until you're married. So she wore one on her wedding day. And then she hasn't had an event to go to wear one because she isn't a working royal like Kate would be and go to all these diplomatic receptions. So, yeah, she got to wear the York tiara, which was given to her mother by the late Queen and Prince Philip on her wedding day. And, she got to wear that. So it was apparently not seen for over 20 years because, again, Fergie doesn't really go to events where she needs a tiara. So was happy to lend it to Beatrice and I thought it looked really great.
So yeah, good outing for Beatrice. I think probably people were a little bit like, oh, Beatrice is here.
Yeah.
She wasn't the only surprising guest either. Like, you know, the Middletons were there.
Yeah, that was a bit of a strange one. I think they could have actually gone on the radar at that event if it wasn't for these, you know, royal sleuths on Twitter who like zoomed in 20 million times onto this picture to see them. I don't really know why they were there. Maybe they're friends with a couple that were getting married, but there is the Jordan connection because obviously Kate and her family did live there for a little while, but yeah.
And then there's some series about, you know, are they like holiday mates and going on their exclusive glamorous holidays in Mystique or, you know, I don't know, maybe Kate's had Kate and William have had Princess Diana, Raja, or, you know, Queen Rania and people round for tea and had the sister over as well. And they've all got on like a house on fire.
Yeah, maybe that's why, yeah.
Best friends forever.
Yeah.
I like to think it is. It was really nice to see a royal wedding as well because, I mean, we slightly bemoan the fact we're not going to have one here for ages.
No, I can't even think when the next royal wedding could be. But I think it was really nice to see that. And it was nice to see William and Kate there as guests because they don't often do that sort of thing. I don't think I've ever can recall them, you know, going overseas and representing the royal family at that sort of event. And maybe that's something we're going to see more of in the future now they're Prince and Princess of Wales.
Excellent. So, yeah, that was lovely. So William, they came back and had sort of a busy weekend. William went to the FA Cup final, though he did go on his own. We were kind of hoping that George might have been getting a day out, but I mean, he might have, well, and the other kids as well, they might have been like, Daddy, Daddy, can we come as well? It's like, no, not for you. And the Royals at the Derby, so Princess Anne and family were there. And I totally missed a couple of weeks ago, the Tyndalls coming back from the Monaco Grand Prix, having been, you know, people, again, sleuths or just keen-eyed people spotting them at the airport and in the economy class. And this classic picture from like airport departures of Mike's just kind of sitting there with his rucksack on and Zara's like totally zonked out on the seat next to him and then putting their carry-on bags in the overhead lockers and things. So it's just quite, I don't know, like, I think they have a pretty good, like, go to the Derby, go to the Monaco Grand Prix.
Yeah, they seem to, yeah, they can go around to all these places and they don't seem to have the same maybe security issues as someone like William and Kate. I mean, you can't imagine them just getting on an economy flight back from Monaco.
Which royal would you like to be sat with in economy to have a chat with on the way back from Nice or wherever you fly back from if you've been to Monaco? Ooh. Probably not Nice.
I think Mike and Zara could be quite good passengers. They seem quite good. Could have quite a nice chat. And
yeah. They probably have some good stories from the weekend they've been on.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Good, definitely good fun people. So, hope they have had lovely outings. And I think it's interesting thinking about the racing generally because racing was such a huge part of the Queen's life and people, you know, went to that partly because of her all the rest of her family went to that party because of her and so cheering on her runners and that kind of thing. And I guess it'll be interesting to see how big a part racing plays for the family now that, you know, now the Queen's not there. Obviously horses are a big part of Anne and Zara's life. That has been their careers, representing the UK on three-day eventing and things. But yeah, seeing how that evolves will be interesting. But yeah, Kate, since she's been back from Jordan, she's had a very busy few days. It feels like she's on a bit of a blitz on her Shaping Us campaign at the moment. There's been a lot of events going on.
Yeah, definitely. Kind of started on Tuesday, I think, when she was at the Windsor Family Hub. So that's a place where parents can go to get practical and emotional support, you know, as new parents. And there she joined a stress management session and joked she could use some stress management tips.
Wow, three children.
Yeah.
Probably. And you know, three children and a husband to look after.
Yeah, three children and a husband.
Rather than look after. He should also be looking after her.
Yeah.
Vice versa. But.
Yeah, busy life, yeah. I'm sure stress management tips wouldn't go amiss, yeah.
Probably different kinds of stress in some ways.
Yeah, to the every day, yeah.
The ones that you and I experience. And I don't know, she's got a sort of gingham, like, gingham always just reminds me of our school uniforms in the summer.
Oh, yeah, those little summer dresses, yeah.
The little summer dresses that the girls have with all the sort of the checkered little checks. So that's the sign of summer is when you're doing, you know, you're walking around wherever you live and the kids going to school are in the little gingham dresses rather than, you know, winter.
Yeah.
All of that.
Woolly tights, yeah.
Woolly tights, oh, yeah. God. Back in the school days. And
look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
And then yesterday, bit of rugby, and we love it when Kate gets sporty.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, she's at Maidenhead Rugby Club. Again, part of the Shaping Us campaign. I think it was mainly focused on fathers this time and how, you know, the roles that they can play in early childhood for their children. And yeah, she joined in with a walk and rugby drill. I never heard of walk and rugby before. I don't know if that's a thing.
Well, it's interesting. Like, rugby is a game that there's lots of different ways that people try to make it easier to get involved with on a slightly casual basis, because, you know, full-on professional rugby, there's a lot of like crash bang wallop.
Yeah, that's a bit scary.
Yeah, and you know, it's quite technical. There's bits that you're only allowed to do if you're particularly trained in that skill, because it's dangerous if you don't know how to do it otherwise. I mean, it's dangerous anyway to a certain extent. It's risky, but yeah, there's a lot of high contact, and it's done without any of that padding that they have in American football.
Oh yeah, yeah, I never thought of that. Yeah, that's true.
So it's quite full on. But then you have things like tag rugby, where it's basically like, I think of it as like playing TIG or IT or whatever that catch a person and tap them game was called when you were in the playground. So yeah, that's how a lot of people kind of start off, is tag rugby or no tackling, or yeah, the different kind of grades before you go to the full contact crash bang wallop. But yeah, walking rugby. I haven't heard of that one before.
I think it's basically kind of like tag rugby, but you can't run. You're just allowed to walk, which Kate found quite difficult because we know how competitive she is. So she was trying to run and apparently she was told, walking only.
How do you tell off? Yeah, tell off the Princess of Wales.
Yeah.
I love the fact that some of the pictures that came out, you know, she had like that sort of really peppy ponytail, great makeup as ever, but thoroughly into it. I mean, I was thinking, like, in a parallel universe, there is a Kate Middleton PE teacher somewhere. You know, she loves kids, she loves sport. Like, if you don't end up going to St. Andrews and meeting Prince William and becoming the future queen, I mean, PE teacher, I think it would suit her quite well.
No, I definitely think it would suit her quite well. It's not just rugby that she's looks to excel in. It's been other sports. So yeah, why not pass on her skills to others? Yeah.
Those pictures of her jumping around to catch the ball, it just made me think of, like, she looked quite netball and quite tennis, I thought, just the way she was moving. It's interesting, like, people who have played a lot of a particular sport, it really affects how they play other sports.
Yeah. You can tell that she's definitely had tennis tennis, maybe lessons. Well, we know that they're friends with Roger Federer. If she hasn't had, if she hadn't asked Roger Federer for a tennis lesson, she definitely should.
She's doing it wrong.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So yeah, so that's that was a great event yesterday, and there was a really nice thing as well that came out about, well, a good thing coming from a bad thing, I guess.
Yeah, so there was quite an emotional moment at Maidenhead Rugby Club. She met a mum called Sarah Renton, whose teenage daughter Issy took her own life at the age of 17. So really, really sad story. But Sarah gave Kate some earrings that had been made in Issy's memory, and Kate hugged her and she's promised to wear them. So yeah, it was a really, really special moment. Yeah,
a lovely moment there. And also keeping in touch with previous visits that they've been on. So there was a food bank that had some bad news and is now getting helped out by William and Kate.
Yeah, so this is St Thomas's Church Food Bank in Swansea. So if you remember last year, it was when William and Kate did their first visit to Wales after getting their new titles, Prince and Princess of Wales. They went to this church and visited the food bank. And yeah, there was a horrible story about how the food in the food bank was stolen by some heartless thieves. And it has emerged that William and Kate have pledged to help them and replace the food that has been taken. So yeah, quite nice.
Nice way to help.
Yeah.
Charles has been away for some Charles time.
Yeah.
In Romania, but he did send an official message after the awful train crash in India, saying both my wife and I have been most profoundly shocked and saddened by the news of such a dreadful accident outside Balasore. I would like to express our deepest possible condolences to the families of all those who have so tragically lost their lives. I do hope you know what a special place India and the people of India have in our hearts. I have particularly fond memories of visiting Odisha in 1980 and meeting some of its people on that occasion. I pray therefore that you may be able to convey our most heartfelt prayers and sympathy to all those who have been affected by this appalling tragedy, together with our special thoughts for the people of Odisha. And I think things that struck me about that is that it does feel very, it feels very heartfelt and human. It doesn't feel just like this is an official message that I need to do. And also, you know, we talk about the Queen having, you know, she'd been to everywhere essentially in her long reign. So when something happened anywhere, she pretty much did have that personal connection to it. But actually, because Charles has served such a long apprenticeship, he's got that connection as well.
Yeah, I mean, obviously over his time of being Prince of Wales and now King, he's visited an awful lot of places, and I'm sure a lot of those places are, you know, have special place in his heart. And yeah, as he's mentioned in that message, he remembers that visit there fondly, and that's why he just wants to, you know, let the people there know that his thoughts and prayers are with them.
So it's been a packed week this week. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's plenty more to come coming up. Is there anything that we know about off the top of our heads?
I can't think in the next week, but obviously now we're into June, it's, you know, going to ramp up. We've got Troop in the Colour in a few weeks, which will be really good. Garter Day, Royal Ascot. So yeah, it's all going to be happening in the next few weeks.
And then Wimbledon after that.
Wimbledon after that, yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, lots and lots and lots to look forward to. Jen, lovely to have you with us again. And I'm sure we'll be able to talk about more of those bits and pieces again in the future. Listeners, thank you so much for joining us. Do check us out on Instagram at PodSave. And we're on Twitter at PodSave as well. Occasionally a bit erratic with the posting, but we do enjoy posting on there when we can, and really, really love to see your comments and make a point of, I am checking the direct messages and things, even if I'm a bit quieter on the posting front. So do keep sending those. We always love to hear them. And until next time.
Pod Save the King.